Head Start is a weekly podcast to help Liberty and Corey, adult and student ministry life group leaders, prepare for the upcoming lesson. This week, we'll begin a new sermon series titled Christ in You, the Hope of Glory, in which we will work through the book of Colossians. So really looking forward to that. Leaders, you know, one of our values is truth, not lies, right? So it says we love God's word enough to believe it, speak it, and to live it. I got a phone call this week. Just a real quick story as we begin our time together. Got a phone call this week from the spouse of one of our leaders, and she had been communicating with one of the ladies in the group, and the lady told the story of seeing her husband, his Bible having been open and reading scripture based on the fact that the leader of the group had sent a message out encouraging the group to read the passage that will be preached the coming Sunday. So it's just super cool that the spouse was saying, hey, look, just really encouraged to see my husband reading God's word and allowing it to impact and to guide his life. So just super cool. So leaders, what you do really does matter, and it does make an impact into the lives of the folks in your group. So thank you so much for investing into your people. Real quick, before we step into the passage, and Kyle will guide us here in just a second, this has been tradition here. We got to give our quick overview because college football, well, Alabama won. They were on a bye week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yes, they did.
We're getting healthy.
Yep. Yes, Auburn lost again. Because we were playing football.
Basketball season is about to start.
Yes, right. We're a basketball school now.
Got the Sooners this week.
Yes, that I guess.
I am just hoping that Auburn pulls an Auburn and surprises everyone and just destroys Oklahoma.
It would be a blessing, yes.
And so we'll see.
Think of the bragging rights that we could have over Kirk.
That's true.
Yes, that would be really nice. Yep. And then Alabama plays a little no-name team.
Alabama-Georgia showdown.
What? So. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I think it'd be hopefully to be a good game. I hope both teams come out and play well and just go head-to-head with talent.
Sure.
Kind of see what shakes out. I fear Georgia edging it out in Tuscaloosa, but I hope Alabama can win by three. So,
well, by the time our leaders are hearing this podcast, both of these games have already been decided.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see how this weekend goes. A lot of fun. Love college football, right? But love God's word even more. So this week, we'll be stepping into Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and Kyle will walk us through that passage. But before we get to that, leaders, just be sure to, as you think about your introducing the lesson, it's so important to whet the appetite, right? To find ways to get the group engaged in the topic, maybe even before you even step into the topic. And that's what the introduction, the goal there is. So some really cool questions here to help engage your group as we start this series. Who's been an encouragement and inspiration in your spiritual life? So, guys, if you come in ready, loaded to be able to answer that question in hopes that that'll spur some others in your group to step into that. How does shared faith connect us with Christians we've never met? That's been super cool. I've been the privilege of to go on a number of mission trips and to be able to engage believers that I'd never met before, and because of our shared faith, we had a connection. And so if there's any stories there, and then who can you thank for pouring into your spiritual life? Another way just to wet the whistle, to get the appetite, the thought in the direction of this passage of Scripture. What a great way to get people thinking as we get ready to look at this passage.
That was such a good transition. I'm just very impressed. Well, very impressed.
You know.
So, yes, we are beginning a new series called Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And through this series, we're going to be walking through Paul's letter to the Colossian believers. And it's just such a rich book when it comes to understanding who Christ is and how he is our hope, not our different religious works and rules and regulations. And Paul addresses these things head on throughout the letter. He speaks of our position in Christ, our hope in Christ, and then how that leads to that newness of life that we have through Christ. And so it's just a really rich book, going to be very good walking verse by verse through it. And for this first week in it, we're going to be covering verses 1 through 14. And the first two verses begin with Paul introducing himself, saying that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and he is writing this letter along with Timothy. Timothy was most likely the one who was actually writing this as Paul was dictating it, and so so the two of them together are sending this letter. Now, the Colossians, the church in Colossae was not a church that Paul planted himself. It was a church that most likely came into existence through another man that is introduced in these verses called Epaphras. We've heard of him in other books of the Bible as well. It seems that in Acts 19, when Paul was traveling through that area and on his way to Ephesus, he was preaching to Gentiles, and Epaphras must have heard the gospel from Paul at that point and gone back home to Colossae, where he shared the gospel, and the church took root there in that area. And so when you hear of Epaphras throughout this letter, this is most likely the man who God used to begin the church there. Now, Paul evidently has heard that there are some false teachings that are beginning to assault that church in Colossae, and we don't know exactly what groups were teaching in that area. We don't know what specifically their teachings were, except that we see how Paul answers these heresies throughout the letter. So we do have a general idea that they were seeking to have the believers take their hope and place it on their own religious activities, whether that was them abstaining from certain things or honoring certain days or festivals or different human philosophies. The believers were being tempted to place all of their hope and confidence in those types of things. And Paul is writing this letter to remind the believers that their hope is Christ. Their hope, their full hope and confidence for the present and future life belongs to Christ. And so that's going to be the overarching theme throughout this entire letter. It's going to be the overarching theme throughout this entire series. And so you see that right from the very beginning. Paul begins after introducing himself and just the general introduction that he typically does with letters, that grace to you and peace from God our Father. He then begins in verses 3 through 8 to talk about how he gives thanks to God for the Colossian believers. He says, "We always thank God for you when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and the love that you have for all the saints. That faith that has been worked into the lives of these believers is coming out in their love for other believers. And Paul, from afar, is hearing of this. And he says that it gives him occasion to give thanks to the Lord because he sees the evidence of the gospel taking root in their lives by the way that they are believing in Christ and the way that they are loving one another. He says, "We are praying for you because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." So here's that that first time that that word hope is coming about, and it's going to be a recurring theme throughout this entire letter. And we're going to see later on in the letter that that hope is the person of Jesus Christ. But he's already going ahead and addressing that issue of hope. He says, you've heard of this hope in the word of truth, the gospel which came to you. Now, again, we know that it came from Epaphras. So they've heard of this hope, and it is that same hope that has been taking root, he says, in the whole world and bearing fruit and increasing everywhere, but also with you, in you. So in the Colossian believers, he's saying, we give thanks because we see your faith, we see your love, and it's all because of the hope that you have that comes through the gospel. He goes on in verse 7 there to say that this is the hope that they learned from Epaphras. He says, Epaphras is our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras, I just really have grown to appreciate him. There was another series that we did where he showed up. I believe it was Philippians, and then here in Colossians. Just a faithful follower of Jesus, making disciples, and God used him in mighty ways. Paul has begun to appreciate him more and more, and he says he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. How has he been a faithful minister? He's shared with them the gospel. He's not polluted the gospel with human philosophies and human wisdom. He's shared the gospel that he heard from Paul, and he has loved them. He's loved them well. He's even suffered for them at times. And he has now gone back to Paul and told Paul all about the love that they have for God and for each other. And that has encouraged Paul in his thoughts about the Colossians.
Thank you, Kyle. I want to jump in right here and just insert the measure moment. And our measure is reflecting the guide who shows the way. And just remember, being a guide is that desire in our heart to leverage all that we are to help others know Christ and grow to be like him. And so in this passage, you have two people, at least by name, the Apostle Paul and Epaphras, that are living out that measure of being a guide who shows other believers the way. But also, as Kyle brought out, just the saints that are there in that local faith community in Colossae, that they had fruit, and it was fruit of their love that came from Christ and flowed through them to others. It's the fruit of the gospel that sets them apart and makes them distinct and different from the way of the world. And so we see many anonymous believers apparently being guides who show the way by living their life by the power of the gospel that is different. And so they're just some examples of how we can lean into being a guide and that we can learn from Paul. One is to make Christ known. Paul and Epaphras both carried the good news of the gospel. So as we know that we're ambassadors for Christ, as we go, wherever we go, we're to make Christ known. But also, once folks come to know Christ, there is accountability and discipleship that is needed. So with every letter Paul is inspired to write, he's writing, directing believers to truth and correcting wrong teaching and enemies that are attacking, but he is guiding them in truth and holding them accountable. So a guide is calling people back to truth, living out that truth with their own life, and Paul is doing that. Another thing that we're about to see and hear is another one of Paul's prayers. He's definitely a man of prayer, and so as we think about being a guide to those around us, one of the most powerful things that we can do, not only living out the gospel and having fruit, and not only holding people accountable to truth, but praying for them and praying the will of the Father for them. And so just think about ways that God may use you in the rhythm of your life or even as life group leaders to be by example and by practice those guides who are showing them the way. Ministers of encouragement are guides as well. And so Paul presented truth. Paul brought accountability to that truth. Paul was a great encourager along with Epaphras. And this letter is filled with encouragement to these believers. And Paul was a man of prayer. So in all those ways, he is being that guide and setting that example. And it allows us to consider the ways that we can live out our life as a guide for Christ's glory.
That's good. And so verses 3 through 14 really talk about the content of Paul's prayers. And so verses 3 through 8, we saw him giving thanks to the work that he sees in the Colossian believers. He gives thanks for Epaphras. And now he begins to turn those prayers of thanksgiving to prayers of petition. And he's saying, hey, from the very first day that we heard of your faith, we have not ceased to pray for you. So really that continual, consistent prayer, such an expression of love to other believers to say, hey, I'm continually praying for you. When I pray, you are part of those prayers. And he says, when I'm praying for you, I'm asking that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will, so God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wants them who have walked in darkness, who have been Gentiles, who have not known the will of God, who have not had the scriptures, he wants them to know God's will. He wants them to understand genuine wisdom, not worldly wisdom, not human wisdom, but real godly spiritual wisdom. He wants them to have the eyes of their hearts enlightened, to actually experience the light of truth and true understanding of God, but not so that they simply know more or so that they simply can say, hey, we have more knowledge. He says, I'm asking these things so that, verse 10, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. That knowledge of God's will is meant to lead to a new life. It's meant to lead to a life that is marked by faithfulness. That's what wisdom is. It's knowing God's will and consistently doing it. And so that knowledge and behavior, that knowledge and action always go hand in hand. So that idea of walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, that really ought to be the desire of every genuine believer, and it ought to be something that we pray for one another. I'm challenged to say, you know, to go beyond some of the shallow prayers that I offer and say, hey, I need to be praying this for myself. I need to be praying this for other believers, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Now, what does that look like? That's what Paul goes into in the next several verses. First, it looks like bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So those are the first two things that this looks like. Number one, bearing fruit in every good work. Again, as we see throughout the New Testament, genuine faith is meant to lead to a different kind of life. A life that's marked by righteous living, a life that is marked by godliness. There ought to be this putting off and putting on, this putting off of old ways and this putting on of new ways. Later in Colossians, Paul will speak to that. The fruit of the Spirit being born in our lives. So bearing fruit in every good work. And then number two, increasing in the knowledge of God. That hunger and desire to know God. Not to know about him, but to know him, to be in his word, to hear from him, to grow in our affections for him, that knowledge of God, to understand his ways, to understand his promises and how they come to bear on our lives. These things are pleasing to the Lord. He loves when his people are seeking to know him more. Number one, bearing fruit in every good work. Number two, increasing in the knowledge of God. Number three, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. One of the ways that we honor the Lord is by enduring, by persevering in our faith, relying not on our strength, but on His. Coming to Him, knowing that we're needy, asking for His strength, asking for His perseverance, and then continuing day by day to live out our faith. Calling out to Him for power, calling out to Him for energy to do the things that He's called us to do. Remember, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is Him who works in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So that being strengthened with all power means looking to Him to continue to keep going, relying on His strength, not on our own. And it says, for all endurance and patience with joy. Again, a faith that grows for a moment and then shrivels up and dies, that doesn't please the Lord. You think through the parable of the sower and the soils. The idea that faith would grow for just a moment and then not bear any fruit or not continue to grow but wither and die, that's a false faith. But a faith that grows and endures and bears fruit and keeps enduring, those are the ones, that is the faith that pleases God. That's walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. And then lastly, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. A life that is worthy of the Lord is full of thanksgiving to God for what He has done. We never get over the fact that we who were born in sin were born again by the grace of God, not because of anything we've done, but only because He has graciously looked at us and decided to save us. And we should never get over that. And it should be always in our prayers, always in our lives, that we are thankful to our Father, that He would give us an inheritance that we do not deserve and that should be withheld from us, but He's graciously given it to us. And then he goes in verses 13 and 14 to expound on that. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, that power and authority of darkness, and He has transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. Just expounding on what God has done for us to remind us, don't ever think that you have grown beyond needing to remember the gospel, needing to remember what God has done for you, and needing to be in awe of that. If you will do these things, if that is how your life is marked, then you can be sure that you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. So these are the things that we need to be praying for one another. These are the things that can be very impactful to a fellow believer to say, hey, I am praying that you would be strengthened with all power. I'm praying that you would be bearing fruit in everything that you're doing. I'm praying that you would give thanks to the Father continually and remember what He's done for you. I'm praying that you would be increasing in the knowledge of God, that you would have a heart for God's word and to grow in it and to know it. These prayers please the Lord, and they can be very encouraging to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that actually is something that you get to practice this week in the Live It Out this week. The first Live It Out point is use Paul's words in verses 9 through 14 to pray over someone in your life. These prayers... Tim mentioned that this is one of several places in Scripture where we have Paul write out, this is what I'm praying for you. These can be great instructors for us, points of instruction where we learn how to pray biblical prayers for one another. And so that Live It Out point is a very practical way for you to put this into practice, to see this in your life, to open your Bible when you pray, and to keep it before you, even keep your eyes open and just read through it and pray these verses over your fellow believers, maybe even your own life group leaders. This is a great thing to do for a Live It Out.
Yeah, it's really cool. I find that there's times where in praying that, you know, sometimes there's just a loss for words, but to be able to come and to pray scripture is so powerful and such a guiding, a guide for me as I pray. So always been very helpful. So cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys investing into our leaders again as they prepare to guide their group in the lesson that's coming. Leaders, I want to keep a couple or a few things in front of you. Some important dates in the month of October as we've wrapped up the capital campaign. We will have Celebration Sunday on October the 13th, celebrating what God has done through the people at Liberty and Quarry as well. So celebrate that. We'll also be commissioning the Valairs as God has given them the opportunity to serve in a new way. So a big Sunday, October the 13th, that celebration and the commissioning. Also remember, October the 16th will be a night of worship. That's a Wednesday night. Don't miss out on that midweek worship event that'll be here in the worship center. And then we'll wrap up the month of October with Candy Corn Carnival. Adult life groups, you're participating in different ways. Some of our, what I refer to as our empty nester life groups, those who don't have kids in the family, many of you guys will be helping run and hand out candy. And those of you who do have children, we want you to bring your kids, bring them, and they can have a good time collecting candy and doing the going to the petting zoo and riding the ponies and playing all the different games. And we'll also have food trucks that evening as well. So don't miss out on those things. Be sure to keep that in front of your leaders, in front of your group as we move through the month of October. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We will see you on Sunday.